Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom. And we are doctors of physical therapy bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another PT Pearl. We are excited today to talk about the glutes, the booty. So today is all about glute activation, how to create a better hip hinge pattern. So definitely head to YouTube to check out what board we're moving on, why we're moving on it. And we're going to kind of talk through some of the common pitfalls that happen and how we can use solutions throughout our body to create these different cues without even having to really, you know, hammer in like, do this, do that. And so we're going to talk through all those different ways that we kind of maximize the hip hinge and utilize the glutes within the body.
It can get pretty overwhelming sometimes when you step into somebody's office and they start telling you, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and you need a hinge because whatever. And we just start getting lost and we start getting all these things thrown at us that we're not supposed to do. And I know that we were talking about this just before this, and that's like not a message that you or I want to convey to people as physical therapists. We want to convey the message that there are ways to do things most optimally in our body, and we can optimize also the way we feel during those things. So that's the approach that we're going to kind of take when we talk about a hip hinge, because there's nothing bad about squatting, which is kind of the other pattern that people use.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we hear a lot, you're quad dominant or you're hip dominant.
Yeah.
And what does that mean to be quad dominant or hip dominant? So let's just define both real quick. So quad dominant is basically anytime you're bending forward, you're bending down, you're putting more pressure into your quads rather than the back chain of your body, meaning your glutes and your hamstrings. Mm-hmm. And typically when you go into a physical therapy office, you know, you're told, oh, you don't know how to turn on your glutes. You have gluteal amnesia, there's sleep. You're only using your quads and we just need a hip hinge so that we teach you how to do this and you get out of knee pain, which,
you know, that premise might work for some people because as soon as we start doing hinging, we're offloading the knees and we're putting them in a real safe position. But again, if we do that with somebody and then don't go any further or don't also educate them in that squat and that quad dominant position, that's a pattern we should be able to do as a human. Then they're always going to be afraid to go back to it. They're going to be afraid to put those knees forward and to put some more pressure into their knees because pain. You know, that's all they remember of it. They're never getting educated in how to do that correctly or differently for their body so that they might not feel as much pressure through those knees.
Exactly. And we're just not in the message of fear mongering and don't do this movement. Oh, you have pain because you're squatting like this. Like, no. Honestly, any type of squat that you do is a knee dominant, is more of a knee dominant pattern. Yes, we could create a little bit more glute dominance, more hip dominance in a squat. But at the end of the day, if you squat all the way down, your knees are bending more, your quads are being used a lot more through the pressure over the knees, they're going to work. And so we don't want to create fear around that. It's just how can we still feel this good hip hinge pattern and utilize that in a deadlift, in bending over and quickly picking something off the floor, in all these other patterns. And then how do we not be so afraid of squats? And today we're really going to dive into just talking about the hip hinge. And so we'll get into squats. We should get into a whole episode, PT Pro on squats and a different one. But today we really want to focus on hip hinging because, you know, it's so important in terms of moving from your access point. Your hips are literally basically the center of you, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, our center point in everybody's body is going to be a bit different. However, our hips are our access point from our lower body to our upper body. So learning how to move better from them is really going to help efficiently just move and activate well throughout our body.
And I think whether it's in a squat pattern or a hinge pattern, moving from that access point is going to help us maybe eliminate some of those other things our body might be doing. Some other motion, whether it be from the back or the knees or the ankles, wherever it is that we might be utilizing otherwise to get that depth in the hinge or the squat. So when we use something like the COBO board, it helps us kind of do those things automatically just by stepping up on it. And we're going to show you some of those things today.
Yeah. Now, COBO board, what is this? Why do we have our feet on it? What are we? If you're listening, you don't know this. We've both posted about the COBO board on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I got lots of inquiries, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. So it's just this blue board that's quite small, really super light, and just uses resistance bands. So what makes it different than any other kind of resistance bands we're going to kind of talk through today. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because of the shape of the board, what it automatically creates within the body, mm-hmm. and how using this external cue, exactly, Dom said this earlier and I loved it, using an external device or cue can help to drive internal cues within the body.
Yeah.
Meaning
that when you're at a PT's office or somebody's trying to teach you these things, everything that they give you is an external cue. Whether they're saying something to you, whether they're using a tool to help you feel something, whether, again, it's a spot on a wall that we need to, you know, focus on while we're doing an exercise to help drive something internally. And generally, when we use those externally driven cues efficiently, it helps us start to do things internally in our bodies, you know, automatically. And one thing that I like to think about as a PT is how many external cues can somebody handle at once?
Yes.
You know? If it's just cueing, great. But we can easily give somebody 20 cues and then they're immediately overwhelmed. You know, who is listening and has had somebody try to teach them how to do a movement and is just like walks out of that office feeling like they failed at life because they're getting so many cues and so much feedback. It's just instant overload.
Yeah.
Going back to the COBO board, we really try to do minimal cueing using something like this because, again, the way it positions your feet, it helps drive these internal processes in your body and you immediately start hinging better.
Yeah. So some of the problems that typically end up happening with hip hinging, one of the most common I think people can think of is a deadlift. You watch someone do a deadlift and they round down at the very bottom or they round as they're coming up, right? Mm-hmm. That means the hips stop going forward and now my back is going to go the rest of the way forward. And oftentimes when people are doing this, they don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So it is a very unconscious movement pattern that people are doing. And then we say, oh, well, they're rounding in the back, so that's bad. Lower back flexion, that's causing herniated disc, that's causing all that. Now, no. we don't go by the mindset of like, you can't round in the back. However, we do want to move from every area of the body. So if we're only moving from that low back and we're not using those hips, that's when we could be overloading and putting increased pressure on one area rather than dispersing that pressure. And especially if we do that over and over and over and over again, all of a sudden that's when you go to pick up the pencil and you're like, oh, I rounded my back and it threw up my back.
Yeah. And I think that an important thing you kind of touched on is that, again, rounding the back isn't a bad thing, but it's what's the purpose of the movement? You know, are we going down to use our primary access and amazing lifters to get some weight up from the ground? You know, then we want to be a lot more conscious of how much of that movement's coming from the back, how often we do that, mm-hmm. how much we're supporting through our core while we're moving. Because again, it's not bad if we do it. It's bad if we're not prepared to do it when
exactly.
we do it.
The preparedness of the body is everything.
Yeah.
And it's just having that built-in awareness and those built-in cues to automatically help to do that is what's going to drive a better and efficient pattern so that your glutes automatically turn on without even having to think about it. And your back isn't having to work all the time as much, you know?
So what else do people do? I mean, we round through the back. Mm-hmm. We also can see some things happening down the chain at the knees. You know, if we're trying to primarily focus on a hinge, a lot of people still might try to drive some knee dominance into that movement. And again, that's just seeing those knees either track forward out towards the toes or even inward a little bit. And again, putting a lot more pressure through the knees. Mm-hmm. And if our intent is to do a hinge, you know, that's something that we might want to correct.
Right. Because then we're just saying we're patterning in a certain way. Like if I drive for my knees, as soon as I start to bend forward, my knees are the first thing to bend. That's telling my mind my quads need to be ready and active. And that's going to kind of drive the pressures your quads are the front of the thighs. So that's going to automatically drive the pressure in the front of my body. Think tight hip flexors, overextended pelvis, whatever it may be. And so it's just telling your body, before I turn on my glutes, I need my quads to be active. Mm-hmm. And so how can I switch that? And if I'm going to go into a hinge pattern, make sure my glutes are the primary driver, not necessarily the quads.
Yeah. What are some other pitfalls we might see in hinging patterns?
So I think the lack of awareness in the pelvis is another really huge one.
So I am a culprit of this when we talk about pelvic tilt, right? So we've had an episode on anterior pelvic tilt, and I am, you know, a quintessential example of what anterior pelvic tilt will do to some of your patternings. And this is something I've been working on a lot. You know, we anterior pelvic tilt to gain some extension in the system.
And anterior pelvic tilt, real quick, is?
Is where your pelvis, or, you know, the thing your legs are attached to, is kind of dumping forward, and your hip bones, those knobby hip bones in the front, are kind of pointing down towards the ground. And you might see a little more extension in your back. So in your low back. And so I was driving a lot of my extension in my system from my low back whenever I would hinge. And that would cause some different issues in my body over time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since in college I was lifting heavier weights.
And I think it's such a common thing, because at least what I remember growing up when I was learning lifting is to really arch the back.
Butt back, chest up.
Yes.
That's what I heard all the time. Butt back, chest up, look at the ceiling. And for me, those three cues immediately put me in a position that my body probably shouldn't be in. And my body probably wasn't ready to lift weights that I was lifting at the time. So for me, I always found doing something slightly different with my vision and my body helped me feel better in those lifts. And I should have listened to that a lot sooner.
Right. But when you don't know and you're being told one way to move, and that's what happens, then people end up dumping forward a little too much with a lack of that pelvic awareness and stability and support. We dump forward and then we come up and we almost hyper correct it. And then you might dump the other way and then really squeeze at the top, or you stay in that extended position and then you just use your back to really activate that squeeze. And you'll see people go into this deadlift pattern where they're coming down and then they want to really get that good glute squeeze. So all of a sudden they pull back and you'll see their back arch. And again, lack of awareness. They're thinking, I'm using my glutes, I'm really squeezing, I'm getting that max contraction at the top. And really, you're just keeping your pelvis a little bit more forward and arching through the back.
Yeah. So I think that keeping these things in mind, and as we go into showing you on the Kobo board, we're going to show some examples of what those things look like, and just stepping up on the Kobo board, how that can start to correct some of the issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more that I think is important to note is hamstring mobility.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you, depending on what you're doing with your pelvis or some other things, can cause hamstrings to either be very lax or very tight.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if we're driving that motion and putting most of the tension through the hamstrings, people can just feel a ton of soreness in the hamstrings the next day without noticing anything in their glutes.
Yeah.
And if that's someone out there, then, hey, maybe you need to start to pay a little more attention to how you're doing that hip hinge pattern to load into those glutes.
Yeah. And that's where we can use the knees to kind of help to offload the tension. And we're kind of go over that as well, and why offloading that tension in the hamstrings and bending just a tiny bit more in those knees can actually cause more stretch at the glutes.
Absolutely. So what do you think? You want to stand up and show some of these things and then hop on the board?
Sure. So just try to pay attention if you're listening.
All right. So of course, when we're showing things, we try to talk it through best we can. You might want to hop over to YouTube and just take a look at these things, especially if you feel like you're someone that we're talking about.
And so, YouTube's always at DocGenFit for all these videos.
Yeah, for sure. So why don't you show everybody what it means to have that anterior pelvic tilt? So Jen's going to kind of dump into this anterior pelvic tilt when she goes down into a deadlift. So she's pointing those hip bones down towards the ground.
It's almost hard for me to do.
She's got this bigger arch in her low back, and her knees are just almost locked straight. So she's really just using tension in those hamstrings to kind of stop her pelvis and then turn the motion around. And that's something that's not her normal patterning. So it's almost tough for her to do that example. All right, now a little bit more knee dominance in your hinge. So now, Jen, If you notice, her knees are just coming forward, kind of out towards those toes. She's actually using those knees to get depth and not sitting that butt back as much. So there's some knee dominance. And we're seeing her from the side, but some people might also let those knees track inward or whatever it may be. All right. You want to show any other ones or you want to step up on the board?
I think what happens too sometimes when people are super hypermobile in the hamstrings like I am, when they come down, they think, oh, I don't feel it yet. I don't feel it yet. And it's not until you get, so you can kind of see in my back how I even round.
Yeah,
even
she
though,
starts flattening out. Once she hits her hamstrings limit of sorts, then she starts getting that good neutral in her low back where she'll feel that hamstring stretch.
But then I'm still just moving from my back rather than really using my hips.
So we kind of talked about how people might just be relying on those hamstrings to tell them when they've gone down far enough, might be moving a little more through the back. One thing that you want to maybe try doing is when you're going down into that deadlift, just unlocking those knees a tiny bit at the bottom to then still push more into those glutes rather than letting those hamstrings get so tight at the bottom. If you unlock those knees a little bit, take a little tension off the hamstrings and push you a little more into those glutes. Make sure, though, we're not unlocking the knees too much at the top of the deadlift. Otherwise, like Jen said earlier, that'll activate those quads on the front of the thigh right away and put us into more of that front of the body in a squat pattern. So unlocking the knees slightly at the bottom of that deadlift will help you sit a little more into the glutes.
Yeah. And I automatically feel it more too when I go to lift, because now as I come down, so once my hands pass my knees and I kind of bend in my knees a little bit more, I put my glutes on stretch back there. Like you can see that they're going to be much more stretched out. And so automatically when I start to push, my glutes are already active. So you don't need that extra squeeze at the top. It's already working.
Yeah. Anytime we put a little bit of a stretch into something, it'll kind of respond for us. So unlock those knees at the bottom and that might help you a little more in the hamstrings. Yeah. So stepping up on the Koba board. What the Koba board does that's so amazing is it just raises the toes a little bit. As you can see, if you're watching, it raises her toes up. And what that does is it gives our body a little internal cue. All right. So I think if we show rounding in the spine during that deadlift, so now Jen's going to be going down and just rounding through that back, right? Rounding through the low back, rounding through the upper back. And if you notice, she just kind of squeezes her butt at the top to make her feel like she's doing a glute exercise, even though all that motion or a lot of that motion is coming from flexing and extending through the back as she goes up and down.
And I honestly feel so much more tension right at my SI area. So right where my low back meets my tailbone.
Totally.
That puts so much more pressure even as I come up and as I squeeze at the very top.
Because if we're moving through the spine, it's just going to make a lot more of that force kind of translate through the SI joint in a way that might not be the most optimal. So now we're hopping up on the Koba board and we're going to see how this board helps with some of those things. So the very first thing you're going to notice, especially if you're watching, your toes raise up into a little bit more dorsiflexion. And what that does immediately is it's going to kind of tip our body backwards, right? And so what Jen wants to do to avoid that is stick the hips back a little bit. It automatically just makes you want to push your hips back to keep your balance, right? If you think about raising your toes, whether you're, you know, standing somewhere or just sitting, it's going to kind of make you want to lean back. So sticking the hips back is the first cue that automatically clicks in. Next, Jen is going to come down and grab this band, not thinking of anything else, but the band being in front of her, it's going to kind of make her want to pull back with her arms to activate these lats to stay really solid through this thoracic spine as she goes down or her upper back. And then all she's going to do is try and lift that up, squeeze through the buttons. Again, the way it raises these toes into dorsiflexion, she's staying much more in this back chain the whole time. What are you feeling?
I mean, it's like the easiest thing to be able to do. That's the other thing. A lot of people, sometimes they have the weight too far away from their legs, and then that will kind of pull down and make them round into the back. And what this is doing, now that I'm falling backwards because my toes are raised and I'm putting automatically more pressure into the heels. So when I'm pulling back, I'm automatically going to pull these bands toward my legs, which is what you want in the deadlift. Before you even pull a bar, you should be activating into these lats. So you, if you think about pulling this resistance, which there's three different bands in the COBA board, so it makes it, you know, you can up the resistance, down the resistance, whatever you need. So if I pull back, I automatically almost lift in my chest and get my lats right behind my armpits to kind of pinch. My hips are back, so I'm already like sitting down here feeling it in my glutes. And then I just stand.
Yeah. And seriously, I say this about this COBA board. So we've been using this for a little while now. And one, I had a lot of issues myself with hinging patterns. And people are always worried about at home not being able to have enough weight. And every time I use this thing, I wake up the next day, glutes are sore, hamstrings are sore. I can feel that those things were working in a way that I might not internally drive myself when I just do deadlifts and stuff on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So having this thing with the resistance bands, and you can always add in other bands, right, to up the weight. So it really helps you load those in a way that you might not do on your own. And when you put resistance with it, you're going to feel it.
Yeah. And I would say, so, okay, cues again for upping that hip hinge pattern without having to use a dowel on your back or your front or whatever. Lifting the toes, mm-hmm. pulling back on something so you activate the lats.
Mm-hmm.
And then last little cue that you can use when you're wanting to increase that pattern within the body is to actually take an inhale on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have this weight or resistance, and then I inhale as my bottom naturally goes back. I mean, it's just this natural expansion of my rib cage, which kind of opens up and pulls into my lats more, and then the squeeze into my glutes as I exhale and lift. It makes this lifting pattern. I mean, even if you didn't have the COBA board yet and you're just working on weights or kettlebells or dumbbells, barbell, whatever you're using to create that hip hinge pattern, you know, again, if you want to put more pressure into the heels and you want to actually trick your mind, lift those toes,
mm-hmm.
pull on a band or get some resistance on that bar that's pulling you out and you're pulling it back. And then breathe in, open and expand as you come down and breathe out. It's just like you put all those three together, you're going to feel so much difference in those glutes.
Yeah. So again, limiting those cues and trying to focus on those three things solely. Again, if you do nothing else, you should start to feel a significant difference. One place that I really feel it, my core activates. And in those glutes and hamstrings and the balance of how you're using those two to be able to drive that motion. I love adding in the breath because for me, that really helps me focus on making my core stable when it needs to and allowing my core to be supported through its expansion mm-hmm. when I need it to. So anytime we're being conscious of our breath, we're going to be supporting slightly more dynamically in our core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many exercises because of the way that you can move these bands around, take them out, really like make it so easy. You could do glute bridges. You could do lunges. We do single leg work all the time on this band. You could do kickbacks. You could do things that really help to focus in, get that good hip hinge pattern, and automatically drive more pressure into the glutes, which we're going to talk with one of my favorite professors,
yeah.
Dr. Scott Lin. He's a biomechanist. He did a study on the COBA board. Proving, literally proving that the glutes work more.
Totally. And that's one thing Jen and I appreciate. I mean, he's obsessed with movement. He loves good quality movement. And he did a little bit of research on this thing to show us that, hey, it does activate our glutes a little more without doing anything else, right? Just having him step on the board and do the exercise. So super pumped to interview him a bit. All right, so if you're at all interested in purchasing one of the COBA boards, trying out the things that Jen and I were talking through, go click the link in the show notes. You can use code DOCGENFIT and that'll get you 10% off your COBA board so that you can start feeling that difference between the hinge, between the squat, putting more stress and tension into those glutes so you can really learn how to functionally use those things. Go to that link, use code DOCGENFIT, get 10% off your COBA board today.
Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community, tell us what you're learning, rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.